It's Saturday night. That means it's time for the Don Tony Show.
The wait all week long is finally over. Get Don Tony's perspective on current affairs in the world of pro wrestling and much more. The Don Tony Show.
And now, your host, the man, the legend, Don Tony.
I went to get the cap. I went to get the front of the cap and go, howdy. And I went like this. I'm like, wait, what happened to the cap? Howdy, everybody. How you all doing tonight, today? Good morning, afternoon, and evening. Depending on where you live, this is the Don Tony Show for Saturday.
Was it the 22nd?
Yes, 22nd of October, 10/22/22. Hope everybody's having a great weekend. Interesting couple of days in the world of pro wrestling. We will definitely talk about it. Yesterday on SmackDown, not only did we, you know, I have to address something. Some friends are involved. Please do not be offended when I do this. But, you know, sometimes you got to use a little bit of logic when you post things out there, especially to get attention. You know, we saw Bray Wyatt yesterday on SmackDown, and I saw a bunch of people reposting a picture. I should have downloaded it, but yeah, I didn't think it was that big of a deal, but it was a list of people who are scheduled to be on SmackDown. And, you know, there was a couple of names crossed off, and Bray Wyatt was one of them. And what I saw circulating everywhere is that, oh, as a wrestler shows up, they cross somebody off the list. And Bray Wyatt might have been the only one crossed off the list or someone else. So everybody was teasing that Bray Wyatt's going to be live in the building, in the arena yesterday. And as I looked at it closely, because there were some producers on there as well, if you looked at the lines, not only can you tell they were computer generated, you know, this was a picture that was posted on a wall. So if you see those lines perfectly crossed out, chances are what you think it is not what it actually is. And basically, if the people who crossed out were the people who are not in the building, Triple H, one of them as well, still dealing with COVID, still testing positive as of, I think, 1 or 2 days ago. Because remember, you remember the controversial WWE protocol? Was it early this year when they said that they were going to stop testing unless there were symptoms, and if you tested negative within 48 hours, you could return to it. Remember that controversy? They were ahead of the pulse on that. They were spot on with that. And now you see how the CDC has changed some of the guidelines as well. But again, you know, when you have secondary health conditions, when you have issues, you know, heart, diabetes, overweight, you know, you got to be a little extra careful. So, you know, we hear that Triple H is feeling fine, which is great to hear, you know, but when you think about congestive heart failure, you know, you don't want to fuck around. How many people have you ever heard that get the flu, you know, or get a bad cold and then it leads to pneumonia and like that, they're gone. We talked about it even with the ridiculousness of falling and breaking your hip. How eerie was that, that we talked about that several times on this show, and then one time we brought it up, and 2 weeks later, Scott Hall falls, breaks his hip. We know what happened after that. By the way, you know, our thoughts and our prayers are with the family of Kevin Nash. I don't know if you're aware of it, but Kevin Nash's son, Tristan Nash, that looks a little better, Tristan Nash, passed away a couple of days ago at the age of 26. Just really, really sad. I mean, you know, we've heard his name in the news headlines a few years past, but, you know, from what everybody is reporting, I don't know them personally, so I'm not going to make the claim that friends of mine are saying this. No, but what I'm reading from all over the net that did know the Nash family personally is that, you know, Kevin Nash and his son were really getting along well. And I have no idea what happened there. I'm not going to speculate. and it's none of our business. I mean, of course, we're all curious, how does someone pass that young? But, you know, if they don't want to say anything, it's none of our business to know. So all I can say right now is our thoughts and prayers are with the Nash family. And I know a lot of you out there really feel that way. And, man, you know, you think about Kevin Nash, especially his best friend passing away and probably his second best friend passed away, you know, Scott Hall and now his son. That's awful. I mean, what do you always hear people say? The worst thing that a parent could ever do is bury their child. You always hear the saying that, you know, the parents are supposed to go first, then the children, not the opposite. So thoughts and prayers, absolutely. So today we're going to talk about SmackDown a little bit, just a little. We're going to focus more on the Bray Wyatt stuff because we had some interesting progression in this storyline yesterday. People are now starting to put two and two together and realizing that a lot of what we're watching is Bray Wyatt's mind on the screen, you know. And by the way, there was another QR code yesterday, which I'm going to share with you in a moment. There was also a couple of Easter eggs. One that actually was used two different ways yesterday. And we have to make a phone call. We got to make a phone call. That is one of the Easter eggs from yesterday. Now, if any of you heard that phone call, I know what you're going to say to me, DT, you could hardly hear the audio. Don't worry. I already recorded it, and I boosted it as best as I could, so you will hear that. We're also going to talk about, you know, the news that's coming out with CM Punk and AEW negotiating a buyout of his contract. Anybody that's followed this show for months knows exactly what the deal is with AEW, the legalese, and what's going on behind the scenes. I've said to you, and believe me, I am fully aware. I am fully aware how much of a turnoff it is when anybody, whether it's a fan, a podcaster, a journalist, a blogger, anybody, when they say, I told you this, I said this, I did it, I understand it's a turnoff. You know, it's like going on a first date and your significant other smiles and has a big piece of corn between their teeth, or they didn't brush their teeth, or they let one loose in the car. You know, there's a lot of things. You look, there's a booger hanging out in the nose. Maybe you forgot to shave the hair off your ears. You get up close and personal and something smells like rotten curry. You know, big turnoffs. But, you know, one thing that we've had conversations on in this show is that there was no outside investigation. There was no Inspector Gadget, who bit who punched who said this. You know, that's not even like a low-budget Forensic Files. What was happening was Tony Khan's contracts are so incomplete. That's probably the best way I could put it. So incomplete is that when you run into major issues like this, how the fuck do you rectify it? You know, if it's up to the wrestlers, you know, they have, why do you think, and I've said this before, why do you think all these wrestlers have agents, have attorneys? You think, you go to your lawyer and say, hey, look, this is my contract AEW offered me, $5 million. And that's all that's on it. Five lines, a lawyer will orgasm. Or a lawyer would be like, wait, so there's no, you know, there's no amendments, there's no clauses, there's no this, there's no what if. You know, I mean, you signed that in a heartbeat. So what was going on was Tony Khan and Mega and whoever it is behind the scenes, they went to their attorneys and they're like, what do we do about this? How do we rectify this? This person refuses to work with this person. This person refuses to be in the same building. CM Punk does not want to be around the EVPs. Kenny Omega refuses to do this if CM Punk is doing this. This isn't that. So how do you resolve that? You just hope kumbaya for the love of AEW. We got to be better. We got to all get along. Just because you don't like each other doesn't mean you all have the same thing in common. We want AEW to be the biggest company in the world. We're family. Bullshit. Got news for you. I know this is going to sound nuts, but I think this is probably one of the best things that could have happened to Tony Khan. Because you know what I am starting to hear? Do not take this as news. If you can, if you want, I don't really mind. But CM Punk is not the only person that Tony Khan is considering offering a buyout for. I got news for you. Tony Khan is learning and learning very quickly that this is not Ring of Honor. This is not the Rob Feinstein, Gabe Sapolsky Ring of Honor. This isn't even shit that's run by Sinclair or maybe Panda Energy, because they were very, very complicated with their deals. But he's realizing that this is not an indie fed where you could just show up, pay, off it. He's realizing that you're dealing with million-dollar contracts and you're dealing with the possibility of lawsuits. Anybody ever stop to think that some of the parties involved could file a lawsuit? Breach of contract, breach of this, this could snowball into something, an utter disaster for AEW. So this might have been the best thing that could have happened to Tony Khan, because now it forces Tony Khan to step up his game. Make fun of WWE corporate all you want. Make fun of WWE's contracts being 20, 30, 40 pages long. But if there's an old saying, if you play, you must pay. And Tony Khan is realizing on the fly that if you're going to deal with these uber professionals, these huge names in the world of pro wrestling, you have to make sure all your fucking bases are covered. And do you know who, anybody have any idea? I mean, if you read the synopsis, you already know. Do you know who I believe is going to end up being the number two of this company? The second most powerful person in AEW. Because once everything is said and done, friends, the culture of AEW, the foundation that AEW was built on, that is going to remain. That's why Sammy Guevara, he didn't do anything wrong that night when Andrade showed up at Dynamite. I know some people don't like to hear that, but, Sammy Guevara writes some things online that makes you want to punch him in the mouth. But that day specifically, he didn't do anything wrong. That's why he was in the main event match. Maybe they shouldn't have had him get the pin, but that kind of felt like a fuck you to that clash in culture. At the end of the day, you realize that the foundation that AEW was built on isn't going anywhere. In the end, the EVPs will win. And as you're starting to see, the pigeons are now being fed crumbs again. You pay close attention, you will see a lot of these wrestling news sites that are making claims behind the scenes about AEW that they didn't do for about 7 weeks. Why is that? Because the EVPs are about to return. And they're going to do what they want. They're going to say what they want. They're going to act the way they want, because that is who they are. That is who they are. There is no learning lesson here. At the end of the day, you'll see little mock things here and there. You'll see little inside jokes, whether it's social media or YouTube. At the end of the day, it's going to be business as usual. But who is going to end up being the number two person in AEW, the second most powerful person? If you haven't figured it out already, it may surprise some of you out there. It's going to be this guy. It's going to be Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho just signed a contract extension to keep him in AEW through 2025. Now, did you see the dumb sausage that came out today? Oh, WWE expected Chris Jericho to be back by 2024. That is the sausage bullshit, because who in WWE is going to go publicly on social media and call out these wrestling news sites and say, what the fuck are you talking about? We have no interest in Jericho. Who would even do that in WWE? That's not even a professional thing to do. But you see how asinine, stupid that is? Soon as Jericho inked the deal last week to extend his contract 5 more years, now you get the sausage online. Oh, WWE expected him back by 2024. Because they know nobody's going to call him out on their lies. But Jericho, I don't want to use a comparison to Hulk Hogan, but people will understand why I'm using a comparison to Hulk Hogan. You hear Cornette and others, Conan, Russo, others, you will hear them say in some way, shape, or form, even though Hulk Hogan was a problem for a lot of companies, you know, and I don't know how you evaluate what he did for TNA in the end. Did he help them? Did he hurt them? Did he help them, then hurt them? But one thing you will say for certain, that Hulk Hogan, when he was still in power, wherever he worked, if he saw someone in the locker room that he thought he could make money with, he would do it. You know, sure, he would end up being the one on top, coming out on top most of the time, but Hulk Hogan would see someone and would want to work with them, not because he was trying to elevate them. How do we make money? How do we get the most money? And that's what Hogan would do. He's not the only one. A lot of wrestlers over the years, you could figure out some of these wrestlers like, hey, I'd love to work him. I'd love to work with him. It's not just the mutual respect. You know, it's also to make a lot of money. I think Chris Jericho is one of the, and those, I know this rubs people the wrong way. He is one of the most intelligent men in the world of pro wrestling. I don't give a shit if he's Republican, Democratic, Independent. I don't give a shit. You know, I'm just talking as far as wrestling goes. That guy adapts with the times. That guy is a legend. And believe me when I tell you, out of everybody in AEW right now, that guy is positioning himself, whether consciously or subconsciously, to be the second most powerful person in AEW. He just talks positive. Some people think he's talking out of his ass. Do I think Chris Jericho gives a shit that these little troubles are happening behind the scenes? As long as it doesn't involve him, I think, you know, he business as usual. See, you have other wrestlers. I don't want to start using names, but I know some of you would say Bryan Danielson and others and this and that. You have some names that, you know, look, I love wrestling. Just want to do my job. Do it the best I can. Have fun. Help others along the way. Get paid and go home. You know, and that is what makes them content, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. But when it comes to something like this, Chris Jericho, you know, the rumors is that he's making $5 million a year. I don't know if that's accurate or not. I didn't see the contract. But when you realize this is the press release that came out, this is the press release. October 18th, Tony Khan announced that Chris Jericho has signed a contract extension through December 2025. Touts a little bit of Jericho's accolades. Then he goes on to say that Chris Jericho, his roles are extending. See the top? Increasing roles and responsibilities. So he will be a producer, a creative advisor. He will continue to mentor young talent. And I know some people find that a little bit comical. You'd be surprised how many people within AEW actually really look up to Chris Jericho. I mean, they understand what Chris Jericho is out for Chris Jericho. So what? Wouldn't you be out for yourself? I don't think Chris Jericho is hurting AEW in any way, shape, or form. Sure, a lot of people don't like the Jericho Appreciation Society stuff. A lot of people don't like the, you know, sports entertainment stuff. Watch Mark Sterling and the Acclaimed yesterday. How the fuck are you going to tell me that, oh, Jericho with the sports entertainment shit, what the fuck you think that is? You know, this stupid stipulation, titles versus trademarks. I own the trademark for Scissor Me. You know, that's the shit that needs to be off the TV. That's the awful stuff. Hey, Orange Cassidy, all you need to do is sign this petition and Swerve Strickland is out of our company. No, I have to consult with my attorney first.
Oh, I say you have a match. If you lose, then you must sign it.
You're going to give me that shit? We talked about it on Wednesday. AEW had 37 minutes of straight segment skits, nothing inside the ring. Nobody even brought it up. But if it's WWE, it's like somebody got crucified. Has anybody yet told you that NXT beat AEW in hour two of the ratings the other day? I understand it's the overall that matters. But keep in mind, you had 1,100,000 leading in from baseball playoffs. If you would have had a regular 825,000 viewership opener for that quarter, do the math and figure out who wins who in a Tuesday night war. Did anybody ever bring that part up? Why, that's not a big deal? That AEW took such a nosedive in hour two that NXT beat them in hour two? AEW beat them in hour one? But if you adjust the lead-in from baseball, different story? No, nobody brought that up because of the narrative they want to push. So I appreciate the kind words. I do it for all of you, and that's not pandering. I do it for all of you because at the end of the day, everything that we talk about, from the TV 14 WWE stuff, that's got to be the dumbest story of the year. If you just use logic, you would have understood why that wasn't happening at that time. There's so many things that have to be done first. But where are you going to get the information from? So now Jericho has positioned himself in creative, producing, Tony Khan's ear. Let me tell you something. I've said this since the night of the media scrum with CM Punk. At the end of the day, even though I appreciate what CM Punk did. CM Punk brought to surface a big problem within AEW. The problem is, at the end of the day, who is more important to Tony Khan? The EVPs or CM Punk? Who is more important for the pigeons in the media world that need those crumbs? CM Punk or the EVPs? When you think about the EVPs and all of their fucking friends, from QT to Brandon to Sterling to Cabana, and you go down the list, where is the chain effect that if CM Punk goes, I go? Nobody's going to do that because CM Punk is a very selfish man, and I'm not saying that to criticize him. But at the end of the day, CM Punk could say, oh, what Sasha Banks and Naomi did was a beautiful thing. WWE didn't have the balls to say the same thing about Brock Lesnar. As much as I defend CM Punk, he was a fucking moron for saying that because Brock Lesnar never quit. Why, he walked outside, let some steam out. Half hour later, he's back in, and WWE's supposed to make a statement. Hey, breaking news, everyone. Brock Lesnar is a human being. He was very hurt that Vince McMahon stepped down, and he went outside and cooled off and came back in. You realize how stupid that would have came out if they made a press release about that? So at the end of the day, the culture, the Sammy Guevaras, the Young Bucks, the Kenny Omegas, the QT Marshalls, the Mark Sterlings and others, as long as they have these huge roles behind the scenes, CM Punk is expendable. Andrade is expendable. Other people within AEW are very expendable. It's a clash in culture. And if you're a veteran, a professional, you could go one of two ways with it. You could go the Andrade route or the CM Punk route, or you could go the Bryan Danielson route, the Chris Jericho route, the Jon Moxley route. Look, I do my own shit. I worry about me. I worry about my family, and that's what matters. You know, I'm not going to stir the pot. I'm not going to play politics. I'm not going to fuck anybody else off. I'll do what I can to make me go higher, but I'm not going to bring anybody down along the way. And if anybody gets brought down, they do it by their own demise. So that's what's going on. It was never an investigation. It was just legally, how does Tony Khan deal with this? In my opinion, Tony Khan will be better after this is all done. The question is, does he want himself to be better? If he doesn't, and this goes back to business as usual. You're starting to see it now, like I said before, with the crumbs online. You just pay very close attention. You could have figured it out. Oh, the EVPs, they're this close to returning. That started 2 weeks ago when it was concerted effort that, you know, things are not going to mend. CM Punk is not going to have kumbaya with these people and vice versa. And Tony Khan looks at the responsibilities of everyone. You know, you could figure out easily who is expendable. So that clash in culture will remain. It may get worse. But one thing it will do is it will prevent from AEW going bigger and beyond. than what they should. But in Tony Khan's eyes, maybe that's not what he's going for. Maybe Tony Khan doesn't want AEW to turn into this hundreds of millions of dollars in worth and responsibility, because that's pressure. You know, the guy has money. The guy is a beloved wrestling fan. As long as he could just maintain, look, why do you think Impact Wrestling is still in business? Why do you think MLW is still in business? Why do you think a lot of these promotions that draw less than a communion stay in business? Because as long as they can meet the bottom end, as long as they don't lose money, if it's somebody who's a millionaire, as long as I don't put myself in the negative, yeah, I love wrestling. I'll just keep doing it. You realize how many promotions that stood around 5, 10, 20 years and made almost no profit at all? Why do they keep doing it? Look at these promotions and ask yourself, why do they keep doing it? You know, they're not breaking the bank. There is no golden egg out there waiting to be noticed. That's going to be the next Rock, Cena, Goldberg, Hogan, Flair, Triple H, Foley, Punk, Danielson. There's nobody out there. Believe me, especially with social media, that we could see every little thing about any little person in wrestling. You know, if anybody, you know, should be noticed, they probably have been. So we'll see what happens. But the rumors of the buyout was very predictable. Was hoping that it wouldn't happen. But now you see that now the media's responsibility, which sucks, is that they want to push this narrative, get CM Punk out the door. Ace Steel is out. I still don't know if he quit or if they fired him. I don't know. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, the culture, the foundation that AEW was built on, that is not changing anytime soon. And Jericho is not going to change that culture either. Jericho is just going to position himself. He is the voice of reason. He is stability. As ridiculous as that may come across in a lot of the blue check marks' eyes, Jericho is at the least part of this controversy. You don't hear Jericho's name coming up and, you know, sparking it or throwing gasoline on it. Guy is one of the smartest people in the world. CJ Rocks, he heard Ace Steel was released. Yes, we all did. We don't know if he was fired or if he left or worked out a deal with Tony Khan. We don't know if it was his request. You know, when somebody gets released in WWE, sometimes it's their request. Tony Storm has been released. Was she fired? No, she requested a release. So yeah, we heard she was released. Released is a very vague word when you think about it. But the bottom line is Hangman Page, you know, that culture is going to remain. Because that's what Tony Khan is. That's the thing that bothers me the most out of all of this. I have nothing against Tony Khan. And I'm happy that he's in wrestling. Look at what we got. You know, not all of it is great, but look at what we got. So I appreciate what he's doing. But understand, when people are like, oh, you know, Tony Khan, you know, people need to treat him. No, that motherfucker is a reflection of what AEW is all about. So, with that NDAs, so you mean it's an NDA with Ace Steel. The only reason why NDAs came around is because of Vince McMahon. You know, NDAs. I'll give you this as a buyout. Just don't talk bad about me. Everybody's with this NDA. Remember I said, wasn't it like 2 weeks ago, I said the three most dangerous letters in wrestling now is NDA, not RKO. Everybody runs when nobody wants to talk about something. Oh, there must be an NDA in place. That was what Ariel Helwani and Tony Khan, that's what the excuse makers for Tony Khan was. Well, Tony Khan didn't answer because there must be an NDA in place. I fucking hate those three letters. Seriously. If my initials were NDA, I probably would change them. Nah, don't buy into the NDA stuff. Fly and everybody else to an end. I get it. I understand why it makes sense. You know, look, Cody Rhodes, you know, did they sign an NDA? Well, maybe the way they parted ways. Maybe it's just professionalism. Now you see online, oh, there was an extra sugar in my latte, and you get someone with a blue check mark. Hey, fucking Joe's Coffee sucks. I asked for 2 sugars. They gave me 3. And then everybody piles on. Don't go to Joe's. Joe, you owe them an apology. Give them a free year's worth of coffee. Like, everybody bitches about every little thing. Oh, my luggage didn't come out of the chute yet. I'm standing here 40 minutes. My luggage didn't come out of the chute yet. Get your act together, JetBlue. You see all these fucking inconveniences. I'm like, these fucking prissy little bitches. That's why I had no sympathy for those WWE stars that were on the plane in the tar. You fucking went to Saudi Arabia, a very unstable country in a lot of ways. And then there's a little bit of controversy and you're forced to stay on the plane for 6 hours. Pray for you. Fuck out of here. You shouldn't have went there in the first place. Prissy little bitches. That should be a faction in wrestling. PLBs, prissy little bitches. All right, let's talk about Bray. Obviously, we don't have too many topics to get into. Look, that's what today is about. So we're going to keep it tight, tight. Crazy Cruiserweight, get that dirty thought out of your mind. All right, let's talk about Bray Wyatt. Yesterday, we were introduced to Howdy, Uncle Howdy. Bray Wyatt, they had a pre-recorded segment with him making more powerful quotes. Revenge is a confession of pain. Yeah, if you follow Bray Wyatt's Wyndham's Twitter for the last couple of years, you get lines like this all the time. He's like the opposite of John Cena. If you look at, I love John Cena. Yeah, I don't love him, but I appreciate John Cena. That's probably the better word. You go on his Twitter, every day there's an inspirational quote. You know, and you go on Bray Wyatt's, and Bray Wyatt's is a methodical, deep thought, in, you know, quote, makes you think. But yesterday, Bray Wyatt cuts a promo, and he's telling everyone, I wanted you to leave me to hell alone, but I confess that I'm really glad you didn't, because I needed you. I needed all of you. I confessed that along this journey, I'm going to do horrible, horrible things, and I will never regret them. I am just a servant now. I go where the circle will take me. Right away, you got the goofs. Ooh, who's part of the circle? Who's part of the circle? It's the 6 shades of Bray, everybody. If Wyndham is showing us a side that he never showed us before, why is he predicting that he's going to do some very, very horrible things? He talks about being a servant. Remember the early promos teasing his return. Who killed the world? You did. That's not flattering. You know, it was almost like, I know it's a bad comparison, but some people will appreciate this. Brian Pillman, when he showed up in ECW, was it CyberSlam 96? The internet convention. And he cut his infamous promo where he was going to yank out his Johnson and piss in the ECW arena. When he said, smart Mark, and he looked at the crowd and he said, smart Mark, what's a smart Mark? A Mark with a high IQ? And if you actually look at the crowd, some people cheered. They thought it was a compliment. Because in 1996, you really didn't know what the term smart Mark was. And go back and watch that promo from Brian Pillman. Look at the crowd. The guys in the front row, they didn't clap because they know what smart Mark is. Fuck you, Brian. But you saw a lot of other fans. They were cheering. They didn't know what the fuck. Brian Pillman was making fun of them, calling them out. When Bray Wyatt early on, who killed the world? You did. That's not, hey, I'm here because of all of you. So when you have Bray Wyatt sending these mixed messages, this is the battle within his demons, in his mind. Part of his promo, he said that yesterday. I will always have this. So Bray Wyatt will always be this complicated multi-personality disorder. I'm not trying to diagnose that, but that's what this is. So later on in the show yesterday, we had Uncle Howdy. Howdy, everybody. Howdy. 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 I'm putting this on the screen in case anyone wants to zap that QR code. I'm going to show you what the QR code is, so you don't have to worry about it. But some people want to do it anyway because it's fun. All right. Now I see that a 50 spot came in. Somebody put me on the spot. Who is this face? Who is Howdy? All right. I'm going to tell you in a little bit who or what I think that is. But first, let's get into a couple of Easter eggs yesterday. Now, I could show you this. I can't obviously play the audio. We don't want any problems here. But this was a vignette that was going on a little bit later on. Don't worry, I'm going to play the audio at the very end of it. Now, if you look closely, you'll see a QR code. There's a QR code. All right, now you see there the barbed wire. Let's get that off the screen, and I could show you what that was.
Howdy.
Howdy. Howdy. Howdy. Who's Howdy? All right, before we get into that, let's talk about the QR code. The QR code, if you zapped it, led to a psychic evaluation report of Bray Wyatt. If you zap that QR code, you got this. Don't worry, I'm going to zoom in. I know a lot of you are on your phones. I keep that in mind when I do shows from now on because I never realized that 75% of you out there tune into the shows with phones. So this was what the QR code was. Now, if you zoom in to the top, in the right-hand corner, you see a client ID. And the client ID says 855-211-1133. That is not a Social Security number. That could be a driver's license number. Could also be a phone number. You know what also it could be? It could be a link on WWE.com. If you go to WWE.com/855-211-1333 with no spaces, it will lead you to this psychological psychiatric evaluation. Okay. Rams fan is asking, is this kayfabe? Well, the name on the evaluation is Bray Wyatt. It's not his real name. So, yes. Let me also show you something else for those that might get a kick out of it. All right. You see this? That is a, you know, not zoomed in copy of Bray Wyatt's psychiatric evaluation report. If you do a simple Google image search, you will find, oh, wait, oh, that's not it. This is it. Oh, will you look at that? Oh, will you look at that? Basically, WWE, look at especially where it says psychological psychiatric evaluation. WWE took example forms from a simple Google image search and moved some of the boxes around. Look at the bottom of this form. See the bottom of the form? That empty white box is supposed to be a QR code, and then the right box is blacking out. Now let me show you the one from Google Image. Aha! Aha! See? That's what they did. So WWE did a Google image search, created their own psychiatric evaluation report, and they did one for Bray Wyatt. This was the QR code. Now, when we zoom in a little bit closer, God bless those people online that are like, hey, guys, gals, is there any program out there that could get rid of these blackened out spots to reveal what is behind those things? It's anybody that's ever done Photoshop, you understand. This is not ball ink from a pen. So, no. No. But will WWE reveal some of those darkened out areas? So, this is the top part of the form. And it basically just has his name, date of birth, 5/23/87, client ID. Now, if you look, it says client information, impairment, symptoms, claimed by the client, that's all blackened out. Records reviewed, that's all blackened out. Now we go to the next section, and it says, I authorize, obviously a doctor's name would be blackened out because there is no doctor's name, to release the following information regarding my condition to the Department of Examination, a Department of Social and Health Services, the DSHS. This release includes the contents of the evaluation as well as diagnostic testing or treatment. Bray Wyatt refused to sign. So this is more of an evaluation against his will. In storyline, Bray Wyatt was forced to get a psychiatric evaluation, which he was not willing to do, refused to sign it. And what they did not edit was his psychological history. And it says, difficulty showing remorse or empathy, conflict with social norms. Well, friends, with all due respect, difficulty showing remorse, I think that would apply for a boatload of us online. Not showing as much empathy, I think that would represent a lot of you online. Conflict with the social norms, I think this is so far not really anything wrong with this guy. But then it says disregarding or violating the rights of others. Okay, that is a different story. So then we go to the bottom. And here's the bottom. And it says, list of all mental health symptoms that reflect the individual's ability to work. That is all blackened out. And, you know, the rest is history. So there you go. That is the psychological report. That is the QR code. Now, that number in the right-hand corner was not only the link on WWE website, it's also a phone number. I'm going to dial a number. It is linked to my mixer. I'll let you hear it. It is very low, so listen close. But if you're deaf or you just want a louder version of it, I will play you it enhanced in a moment. So let's call the number first. Listen. Listen. I know. Kind of frustrating, right? All right. I recorded it and I enhanced it as best as I could. There is some background noise because you take something that low and you enhance it very, very loud. You know, you're going to get some static, but you can definitely hear this clearly. Check it out.
Who knows? Not me. I never lost control. Who knows? Not me. We never lost control.
All right, I'll play it one more time.
Who knows? Not me. I never lost control. Who knows? Not me. We never lost control.
Who knows? Not me. I never lost control.
Not me. Sorry. I never lost.
Who knows? Not me. I never lost control. Who knows? Not me. We never lost control. That is what you get with that phone number. So, yeah, I know some people are looking it up in musical lyrics. Some people have referenced David Bowie. Some people have referenced Nirvana. There's always going to be some little Easter eggs along the way. But so that's what we got yesterday. Now, the big talk, obviously, is Howdy. Uncle Howdy. Now, you remember, guys, you remember Uncle Howdy versus Uncle Brody? You know, that is going to be the battle within Bray Wyatt's mind. Howdy is the evil and Brody is, you know, the good. That's, look, that's just my opinion. That's just my opinion. I don't work at WWE Creative, so maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we get a big twist. Now, I have to answer this because it was a very, very generous contribution from Ronnie C, sending in a 50 spot. Okay, DT, putting you on the spot, I really need to know whose face is Uncle Howdy in my preview photo from SmackDown? Whose face is this? I know some of you out there have brought up Barry Windham. It's not a bad choice, in my honest opinion. In my Hulk Hogan, brother. No, you want to know something? My honest opinion? My honest opinion is that's a mask. I think that's a mask. I don't think that that is an actual person's face. The cheekbone, yes, I know it's a shade, but that cheekbone really, really, I mean, that is just, I don't know, man. I don't know. To me, I'm not sure if that's an actual face. I don't know if it's an actual face. It looks like a mask to me. Again, if you look at the video, I have it. So let's play it one more time. Let's pull up this video one more time. Oh, that's not it. Here it is. Here it is. I'm going to get in trouble if I don't. All right, let's speed it up. Here we go. Here you go. Here you go. That looks like a mask to me. That looks like a mask to me. You know, some people thought it was Bo Dallas. You know, I understand because Bo Dallas's name has been referenced that everybody and their mother is trying to, you know, act like, you know, they're breaking something. I would love to see Bo Dallas in a storyline back on TV. I would love it. I mean, we always fantasize Bo Dallas being a part of the Wyatt family. And that could very well happen. But, you know, if anybody has paid attention to recent photos of Bo Dallas does not look like that. Not even remotely like that. But in my honest opinion, I think that's a mask. And I think that is a reflection of Bray Wyatt's mind. I think in Bray Wyatt's mind, this is another character being introduced. You know, you remember, see, this is something that a lot of people forget. And I'm not going to do your homework for you. But Ramblin' Rabbit, Mercy the Buzzard, Sister Abigail, you know, those represented people. Those represented people. So my favorite is Mercy the Buzzard. You think of Waylon Mercy. So to me, this is another character being introduced, but this is all psychological storyline. You know, I saw some people yesterday writing, you know, is Bray Wyatt going to return to the ring anytime soon? Yeah, I remember what we said last week. I think Bray Wyatt is going to end up beating the fuck out of people sometimes, and he's going to lose control. It's going to be, you know, Howdy, you know, getting into his mind. You know, you see this screen and you see that mask, that face, this. When you see this, you know, that's computer generated. And, you know, it's a real mask. But that's like the Max Headroom stuff that we talked about a while back. What you're seeing on the screen is inside the head of Bray Wyatt. That's what that is. That is a visualization of the battle within inside Bray Wyatt's mind. That's not a character, a wrestler, that is going to debut. Remember when Bray Wyatt first came out at Extreme Rules? What mask did he pull off? What mask did he pull off? Does anybody ever even think about that? What mask did Bray Wyatt pull off when he came out? So this is not another wrestler waiting to debut. This is the battle within Bray Wyatt's mind. And as I said last week, I'll say it here again. You know, SmackDown is 2 hours. Pay-per-views are 3. Raw is 3. So if 5 or 10 minutes of that program is Bray Wyatt and it's all psychological shit and not much wrestling, so what? So what? If a wrestler does a weekly talk segment, doesn't wrestle all that much, you know, other than house shows and special events like Piper was doing in the mid-80s for a while with WWE, with Piper's Pit. You mean to tell me, back in the day, if we had Twitter, you think for 4 weeks straight on TV, Piper never gets in the ring. It's always a talking segment. And when I see him, be, you know, nobody complained. So I don't care. I don't care if a majority of what we're seeing right now is a psychological storyline. If you enjoy it, if it's entertaining you, if you think it's cool, what's the problem? I think for people out there who are also AEW fans, traditionalists, they don't like this at all because they feel like, how would it come across if your favorite thing in wrestling right now has nothing to do with inside the ring, that it's just visualization, you know, mind sex, you know, fucking with your mind, teasing your mind. You know, how would all of those people feel? People that rate wrestling by 4, 5, 10 stars. Everybody that does that. You know, this is totally against that grain. But again, we're only talking about a very, 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 very tiny part of an overall show. That's why I have no issue with it whatsoever. So that's what we got right now with Bray Wyatt. So I like it. I love your feedback. Keep sending it along. And look, if you don't like it, speak up. I promise you, no one here is going to, you know, rip you a new one for it. People may disagree on either side, but speak up, because your feedback gives me the pulse on how everybody feels about something. So definitely keep sending your feedback on that. By the way, don't forget tonight, Saturday night, we have Halloween Havoc. I did predictions on Wednesday. I'm not doing a recap tonight because tomorrow we have the sit down at 8 o'clock. I hope you all could join me. And then Monday we have a show and the Q&A mailbag. Q&A mailbag is done. I'm going to release it on Tuesday because Tuesday is the day that there's no show that I usually post online. So I'm going to post it online Tuesday afternoon. And everyone that's looking forward to that, the mailbag will be uploaded. So, all right, let's talk a little bit about SmackDown and Rampage. We'll run through this very, very quickly. We definitely have to talk about Crown Jewel. The two matches that we talked about last week are now official. First off, we have Omos. I tell you, when I watched that segment yesterday with Omos and Braun Strowman does look small next to Omos. I mean, we always knew that Omos was taller, but when Braun Strowman walked up to him, I was like, wow, I didn't realize there was that much of a size difference. But I love the presentation they're doing with Omos right now. I hope that for the last bunch of months, he's been working hard in the ring. Yes, we've seen squash matches, but I think this match is going to be a little bit better than people expect. Remember the Crown Jewel theme for this year? It's like Clash of the Titans. We have the giants going at it. Yes, we have social media icon Logan Paul taking on Roman Reigns, but we have Lashley versus Lesnar, Brock versus Lashley, Clash of the Giants, Omos versus Braun Strowman, Clash of the Giants. Now we have Drew McIntyre versus Karrion Kross in a steel cage. Those guys are big boys as well. So you're having a more enhanced, you know, product for Crown Jewel this year with a lot of big boys being involved. Now, look, I still think Seth Rollins versus Mustafa Ali could happen. We also are hearing about Ronda Rousey, that she may actually perform at Crown Jewel as well. Will it be a three-way with Liv Morgan and Charlotte Flair? Will they go a completely different route? Don't know. But they did confirm yesterday, Karrion Kross versus Drew McIntyre in a cage. And we're going to get Omos versus Braun Strowman. So, you know, look, it's Crown Jewel. It's Saudi Arabia. You got to understand, you're going to get matches that excite the Crown Prince, you know, the people in Jeddah that, you know, are behind this. You know, some of these matches are not stuff that we would really maybe be high on our list. But, you know, you could see this a mile away. I was shocked. I'm not going to lie. I was shocked at how many people did not realize that the minute Omos started scoping out Braun Strowman that you couldn't figure it out. It was a Crown Jewel match. You know, it's about spectacle more than anything. You know, listen, great wrestling obviously is needed at Crown Jewel events. You know, that's why, look, Randy Orton and Triple H, remember that match they had? I thought they tore it up. Think about Edge and Seth Rollins. Think about some of these matches were, you know, on top 10 lists for the year. So people are going to give their money's worth as far as, you know, giving a good quality match, but there's a lot of spectacle surrounding it as well. That's why Kross and Drew McIntyre are battling in the cage. It's not really those two guys going at it, but it's a cage match, and there's going to be a lot of physicality involved. That's a big payday. But remember, too, Crown Jewel, Saudi Arabia, they're going to have to negotiate a new deal with WWE soon, sooner than later. And WWE wants to make sure that no matter the price, they're giving beyond what Saudi Arabia is asking for. So problem is, I don't think they get Sasha Banks this year, and I don't think that they get Bray Wyatt this year. I mean, maybe Bray Wyatt does a segment, a skit or something, but, you know, I don't know if they're going to go that route. I think Undertaker will still appear. I think Undertaker goes no matter what. But, you know, we'll see, because next week is really where they're going to start finalizing this card. So, all right. SmackDown yesterday, Solo Sikoa over Sheamus. A lot of people called it the biggest match in Solo Sikoa's career. You know, there's a little bit of controversy coming out of it. After the match was over, they destroyed Sheamus. Put his arm in a chair, just kept whacking over and over and over and over and over. So WWE reported that Sheamus has a non-disclosed fracture. Something was up with his shoulder. If you look at his shoulder earlier, something was up with that. Hopefully, he doesn't need even a minor surgery. So I'm going to look into that. But, you know, Solo Sikoa, they have done a fabulous job with him since he's been to the main roster. I still stick with it should have been Karrion Kross, not Solo Sikoa, that caused Drew McIntyre to win against Roman Reigns, because Solo was fit in like a glove that wasn't even needed at that point. But, you know, the storyline yesterday, more than anything, was, you know, Jey Uso. Remember, the tribal chief did not want anybody to get involved with Logan Paul yesterday. Leave him alone. Let him play on his own. Nobody get involved. So earlier in the night, when the Bloodline takes out the Brawling Brutes, put Sheamus on the shelf. Say that fast 10 times. They thought their night was done. Sami Zayn, Jimmy Uso, Solo Sikoa, they thought their night was done. Jay's like, no, the night's just started. We got to take out Logan Paul. Sami Zayn says no. The tribal chief specifically said, leave him alone. Do not get involved with Logan Paul. Well, Logan Paul closed out SmackDown yesterday, and Jey Uso shows up, attacks Logan Paul, and then Sami Zayn tries to stop Jey Uso. You know, you're going against Roman Reigns' wishes, and tried to stop Jey Uso from doing what he did to Logan Paul. Because the storyline is, you don't want to release this animal out of Logan Paul by provoking him. I know it's a little goofy, but why would you, in storyline, why would you not want to have someone take out Logan Paul? So Jey Uso goes against his wishes. And what ends up happening is Logan Paul ends up knocking out Jey Uso, and Sami Zayn has this shocked look on his face like, what have you done? What have you done? So look, Logan Paul is training with Shawn Michaels, and apparently, you know, Shawn Michaels is singing the praise about the guy. You know, Shawn Michaels specifically said there's little things about Logan Paul, the basics in wrestling, that if he gets that down, it will just help him with his overall repertoire. So Logan Paul, I mean, what he did at WrestleMania was amazing. Never in a million years did we ever think that he was going to do what he did. So if he could start adding in the basics and start telling a story a little bit, I think this match in Saudi Arabia, look, there's no chance of him winning. But I think this match in Saudi Arabia, Roman Reigns is going to sell it that Logan Paul took him much further than anybody anticipated. Will they blame Jey Uso as a result? We will see. We will see. But for all intents and purposes, you know, Logan Paul is coming along just fine. But Solo Sikoa yesterday, that match with Sheamus was excellent. Solo Sikoa gets the win, and, you know, he looks good. And the fans are accepting him, and, you know, makes you wonder, you know, when does he get some type of gold outside of NXT? Liv Morgan over versus Sonya Deville, they both went to a double countout. They ended up brawling outside the ring, and you knew it was going to be a countout because Jessica Carr, did anybody notice during that match when they were outside the ring, suddenly Jessica Carr was so fucking loud, you would have heard her 10 blocks away. I heard it on my TV. I heard one, two. I'm like, oh, we're getting a count out. As soon as you, and people, if you ever hear like a referee really, really get loud, I mean, they get loud. You hear them do the count, but yesterday, I mean, you would have thought that she was in a room of deaf people that couldn't hear it. I'm sorry, could you, she yelled it, and sure enough, she counts to 10. But Liv Morgan is not done. Liv Morgan decides she's going to put a bunch of chairs in the middle of the ring, like 8 chairs, and she takes Sonya Deville, puts her on the top rope, she sits on the top rope, hits her with a superplex onto the chairs. Got a holy shit chant. Liv Morgan doing that smiling that we talked about a few weeks ago. My only problem with Liv Morgan right now, and I'm a huge Liv Morgan fan. You know the debates I used to have when I co-host. But one thing I will say that is a problem with Liv Morgan right now. You know, it reminds me of the very, 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 very early days of Sabu. There was a difference, though. Sabu would set up tables in the middle of the ring and intentionally put himself through the table. Did not put any wrestlers on the table. If you do, you go to YouTube and go to early 90s, early Sabu, especially in Detroit, you will see, like, after matches, it was almost like a ritual that after the match was over, win or lose, you would put a table in the middle of the ring, climb up the top rope and do a moonsault through the table, put himself through pain. And, you know, you see this over and over again, and like, this guy's a sick son of a bitch. If Liv Morgan was doing that very same thing, then I'd have no problem with it. The problem I do have is she takes a little bit too long to set up the spots. It's a little too long. You know, like, her putting the chairs the way they were, it, like, you got to do it much, much quicker. You got to just throw shit around. If it lands good, fine. If it doesn't land exactly the way you want it, then find another chair. But, you know, like, placing it the way it is, I'm like, okay, this is taking way too long. So I think if there's, I love the segments. I love what she did last week in the back with the table. But I'm just saying that you got to speed this up. It's got to be a lot quicker. And it just seems like it's taken way too long for her to set up these spots. But Liv Morgan, you know, liking the pain. She's liking the pain. She is putting a body through pain, you know, for us. That's pretty much what the story is. Damage control. The Dakota Kai and Io Sky over Raquel Rodriguez and Shotzi to retain the tag titles yesterday. Rey Mysterio beating Ludwig Kaiser with Gunther and Giovanni Vinci. Earlier in the night, Rey shows up and, you know, Kaiser and Vinci are making fun of him and his size and everything. And Rey calls him out, you know, don't disrespect me. So they have a match. Rey defeats Ludwig Kaiser. Excellent match. You know, one thing we have noticed is that majority of these matches are now going almost 10 minutes apiece. You know, that is one of the significant changes we've seen out there. But we're starting to see, I don't know if people are picking up on it. So you're starting to see 1 to 2 less matches on SmackDown like before. So in the past, you'd have 7 matches on average, 6 maybe, and you're getting more and more SmackDowns that only have 4 matches on the card. You might sneak in a 5th one that might be a squash match or something, you know, because remember, LA Knight being Monsoir, I think was only 3 minutes. Hit Row losing to Legato, I think was only like 3 or 4 minutes. So you could sneak in a 5th one, but the 5th one is usually the shortest one of them all. By the way, to continue in the feud with Hit Row and Legato, all right, you know, we'll see what happens with that. They're teasing another person to appear with Hit Row. Because remember, we have 3 guys in Legato, and there's only 2 in Hit Row. No, it's not Swerve Strickland. I wouldn't be surprised if it's somebody like Ricochet. I think it could be somebody as simple as that. An honorary member of Hit Row, your guess is as good as mine. We'll see. We'll see. Josh says JTG. I wouldn't mind that. I wouldn't mind that at all. Hit Row, I've said this before, I like the group. AJ France is coming along just fine. their presentation to me is a little bit militant. And it's, look, for me as a white Italian guy, you know, it's hard to explain, but the perception is, you know, they're not, like I said, you know, throw your hands in the air, you know, they don't do that, but it's very, it feels very angry, if you know what I mean. And I don't know how you get, listen to the crowd yesterday. Did you hear the chant for 619 when they wanted Ray to hit a 619 on Kaiser? Did you hear that chant? It sounded like all children in the audience. You used to talk about that years ago with John Cena when we first heard, let's go Cena.
Cena sucks.
Let's go Cena.
Cena sucks.
That was, you could hear that clear difference. Yesterday, you would have thought they were all children in the audience when you heard the 619 chants. And you got to know your audience. And a lot of WWE's audience are younger fans out there. And I personally think, being honest, I don't think Hit Row and their music style and how it's perceived is, you know, a character that reflects a lot of the wrestling fans. And I'm not talking about hip hop or black or anything like that. I'm just saying that, you know, I don't see a majority of the wrestling fans in the audience that are going to mimic, you know, like the Rams. I mean, a lot of these tunes in wrestling, wrestling fans like to, you know, sing them, mimic them, rap them. By the way, anybody check out Matt Hardy's rap yesterday on Rampage? I don't want to give it away. I should have put it on here tonight. Maybe I'll put it on you tomorrow for the sit down. But he started spitting bars, and I think Ethan Page wanted a laugh. You go back a while, I swear I thought Ethan Page wanted a laugh. So, oh no, I like Hit Row's theme. But it's not a theme. Let me say it like this. It's not a theme that I could see the majority of fans in the crowd singing along with them. You know, I don't expect them to go Judas, you know, where everybody is singing Judas, but Hit Row's theme, I just don't see the majority of the fans that are going to get into it and start, you know, going along with them. So, Byron Cutler, my thoughts are with you, my friend. His mom passed away 2 days ago, and he is hanging out here. I guess is, you know, just take a little mental break from that. So my condolences with you, Byron. So I hate hearing stuff like that. You know, at the end of the day, I know it sounds so cliche, but we're all going to go. We're all going to go. You know, I don't know how old she was. Hopefully, you know, it was a ripe old age. You know, when you hear about people who pass in their 80s and their 90s, I mean, it's always going to be sad to see somebody go. Even, you know, people that we watch in wrestling, it's going to be sad. A lot of our favorites, our legends that we grew up watching in the 80s or the 90s, you know, 10 years from now, how many of them are going to be gone? It's always going to be sad to see someone physically leave this earth. But you know what is awesome? This and this. Can't take that away. So somebody affected you. You know, I've always said this. And, you know, I want to just say this. I really mean this. You know, my grandmother died in 1991. My grandmother I was closer to than even my own family. Now my mom is my best friend. My dad is my best friend. My wife is my best friend. You know, they think they kind of compete sometimes to be my best friend. But the thing is this, you know, when my grandmother died, I vowed that a lot of her good, a lot of what made me who I am, I was going to continue that in my life. And I swear to God, I still have relatives to this day. I'll say something. I'll do something, I'll act a certain way, and someone will say, that's your grandmother talking. That's your mother. Like, that's just, you carry on their legacy. She did good, you carry that on, and that's the best tribute you can do. That's my advice to each and every one of you out there. You know, whether it's a relative or a friend or somebody you admired, you know, if you that person really, you know, did it for you and was a good person, carry on their legacy. You don't have to tell people, hey, I'm doing this, you know, in dedication to my mom or this and that. You know, you just do it because in here and up there, you know, they know that you're doing it for them. So, yeah. All right. So, wrestling-wise, those were your matches yesterday. Viking Raiders did another promo with Sarah Logan. They will be returning, I think, in 2 weeks. I think we're getting Rey Mysterio and Gunther in 2 weeks as well, not Crown Jewel. Very, very surprised that it's not going to be Crown Jewel. I think Gunther at Crown Jewel would be fucking awesome. But I don't know if we're getting him. I don't know if we're getting him. So let's talk for a few moments about Rampage. Now, interesting yesterday, Rampage was live. Do you remember in August and September, all these places were reporting that October, throughout the whole month of October, Rampage was going to be live? Was yesterday the only Rampage that was live in October? Because a lot of the other Rampages were pre-recorded. So yesterday it was live. And I got to be honest with you. I did not find much of this all that appealing. You had the Acclaimed versus the Varsity Athletes. Now, that would have been fine, but they decided to do a stipulation, titles versus trademarks. If the Acclaimed win, they own the trademark to Sesame. If they lose, they lose their tag titles. Now, anybody think that the Acclaimed lose their tag titles? No. So you use a stipulation and you know the outcome. It's so obvious. And, you know, I have nothing against Tony Nese or even Josh Woods, but how many fucking times have we seen this? You know, it just, I don't know, was not feeling it. Plus, they opened up the show again. This is another title defense that they opened up Rampage, didn't close it out, so they weren't the main event. Penelope Ford could not compete. So we ended up having a replacement. Now, we'll get into the match results in a moment. You know, but it ended up being Layla Gray, but I'll show you another picture in a second. We had Hook versus Ari Daivari, which you know is going to be pretty much a squash. And then Preston Vance 10, Dark Order number 10 versus Roosh. And to me, that was the stupidest one of them all. It was basically, if I win, Roosh, you leave us alone. The leave us alone match. So yesterday, I don't know if maybe AEW just felt that the main event that they were going to do, which was 10 versus Roosh, might not, you know, get as much interest as they hoped it would get. So we had a last minute change. They ended up doing this. This was before. Now just focus on the bottom. Okay. They added Orange Cassidy to the mix. So now it was Roosh versus Preston Vance versus Orange Cassidy, and now it's for the All-Atlantic Championship. So all of the mystique as far as who is going to win between Roosh and 10 is out the window, because you know Orange Cassidy ain't losing that belt last night. But they set it up where Orange Cassidy is in the bar by Daly's place, and 10 and Roosh are standing by the bar, and Orange Cassidy offers them beers. And they don't want beer. They want that. I want the All-Atlantic Championship. So Orange Cassidy's like, all right. And then Mark Henry's like, why are you defending the title? I don't know. Just felt like it. I don't know. The main event was fun yesterday, but they ended up turning into a three-way. I think they realized that this Roosh 10 shit, nobody gave a fuck about, other than I think the people working behind the scenes. So Layla Gray ends up replacing Penelope Ford, who may be injured. They claim was injured. So not only did she lose to Willow Nightingale, we found out last night that Willow Nightingale is now officially a member of AEW. She is now All Elite. And look, I'm very happy for her. She's from my neck of the woods. Very, very well liked in wrestling. In the indies, nothing but love for her. So a lot of people are really rooting for her. I hope she goes far with an AEW. I don't know. I mean, you see how the women's division are used, but at least she's got the contract, and I'm very happy for her. The Acclaimed obviously win yesterday. After the match is over, Mark Sterling is like, no, I still have the trademark. I still have this paper. And it's so like unprofessionally done. It looks like a kid did it on their printer. And then here comes Billy Gunn, and Billy Gunn lays him out. They hit Mark Sterling in the nuts. They have the trademark. Good. Get rid of these fucking stupid storylines. Hook over Ari Daivari. Orange Cassidy retaining. They also are continuing this deal that Nyla Rose has Jay Cargill's title. And I could swear, who's the guy with QT Marshall? Aaron Solo? Could anybody let me know later on or tomorrow if Aaron Solo was playing one of the security guards yesterday? I thought that he was. But Jay Cargill, she shows up. She's not leaving the ring unless she has her TBS championship back. Then they show Nyla Rose. Not only did they steal Jade's title, but last night they stole her car. And they drive away with Jade's car, and Jade refused to leave the ring. A couple of security people show up, and she just knocks them all out. I don't know. I mean, Tony Khan yesterday lied, I think, for the first time on social media. And I know some people picked up on it. As far as they think, this might be the first time that he lied, but in character. They must have done a photo shoot for something. I don't know if it was for the UK, but they did a photo shoot regarding something with AEW. And apparently, Jade Cargill or the TBS title was also part of whatever this photo shoot was. I haven't looked into it yet, but I know that they did some type of photo shoot, and Jade Cargill and the TBS title were involved in it as well. Well, in storyline, Nyla Rose has the title. So they did a photo shoot yesterday or the day before, and they had, maybe they did the photo shoot yesterday in the building, and maybe that's for something to promote an AEW event. It might be for overseas or something. So long story short, I guess Tony Khan was nervous, like, wait, this photo shoot's going to be coming out soon with Jade Cargill in it, and she has a TBS championship. But the storyline right now is that Nyla Rose stole it. So Tony Khan, for some reason, goes on social media yesterday and says, Nyla, we had to use a replica TBS championship for a photo shoot. You're a menace. And it was just, look at the tweet. It's not a big deal. It's not anything really newsworthy, but you just look at it, it almost feels like Tony Khan had this guilty conscience that, wait a minute, some fans are going to say, how did Jade have the title for this photo shoot if Nyla stole it? I don't know, man. Go look, seek it out, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Why they're even doing this storyline, I have no idea. Chaos thinks Nyla is terrible, doesn't belong in the women's division. You know, I know that is a huge debate, and I don't think that debate will ever be totally resolved. I think Nyla Rose is okay in the ring. I don't have any issue with Nyla Rose. I just think the storyline is confusing. Are they trying to turn Jade Cargill into a babyface? It sure kind of feels that way, because Nyla Rose, Vicky, and Marina Shafir, especially her from Albany, daughter of, blah, 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 blah. I don't remember the parents' names. You know, I'm trying to figure out which one was worse, friends, Marina Shafir's promo or Bobby Fish? It was a lie. What did he say? Where's the lie? So which is worse, Marina Shafir, you don't know me, or Bobby Fish, where's the lie? I think we're going to have to do an official poll. Which one was worse? You know, to me, I got to be honest with you. I have to go with Bobby Fish. You couldn't get even one. You got one fan in the entire building to react to that. That is got to be in the top 10 of the worst segments in NWA, TNA, TNA, Impact Wrestling, whatever variation of it, that's got to be in the top 10, the worst in history. It was that awful. So, but whatever. So, friends, that is what we have for tonight. I'm going to get out of here. I will definitely look into a little bit further as far as the legal stuff with CM Punk, Tony Khan, the EVPs, Andrade, and a few others. I will leave you with one last thing that I said earlier, but I don't think I just clearly came out and said it. One thing I could tell you with 100% certainty, I'm not going to say who they're claiming said it or offered it, but I will tell you this. This is something you really should remember about what's going on with AEW. There are more and more people that do have Tony Khan's ear that are telling him, if people don't want to be here, or if they're a problem in the locker room, get rid of them. Buy them out. And look, the only reason why I mention Andrade is because of everything that was put out there in the last 2 weeks. That, you know, which I thought was asinine, that somebody claimed that Tony Khan told Andrade, I'm not going to fire you. You could try. I'm not going to let you go. It's childish. That did not happen. But there are people who do have Tony Khan's ear that are telling him, get rid of these people. It's not worth it. Your ratings are not going to go up significantly or go down significantly if these people are no longer in your company. Get rid of them. If they don't want to be here, they're causing trouble. They're causing friction in the locker room, causing problems. That's not what you want in your locker room. That is something I can tell you with 100% certainty. There are people in his ear telling him, because remember, Tony Khan already said he's not letting people out of their contracts earlier. If one thing is going to change coming out of what has happened in AEW over the last 3 months, that change is going to be Tony Khan is going to start getting rid of people that he feels are a problem within AEW. I'm telling you, it's going to cost him money. Because of the way he went with these contracts, he just wanted to get people signed, gave them so much freedom, did not handle the legalese of what if this happens, what if this happens, what if this happens. He didn't address that. I guarantee you it's being addressed now. And that was the center point of this entire thing people claimed was an investigation. Investigation was just a cute word. And that was the word to get out of this. That was the word that people used that was the scapegoat for Tony Khan not addressing this, not answering this, people not reporting this, people not asking this, people not addressing this. So they used the word investigation. Oh, there's an investigation going on. You know, you're going to realize later on that it was not an investigation. That was a cute word that somebody came up with, but it's not a publicly traded company, so they could call it whatever they want. Tony Khan has had a crash course as far as contracts and legal and lawsuits and everything like that. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But one thing that will change is, you know, if Tony Khan, you know, listens, you're going to start seeing some people gone from AEW. Bought out of their contract, you know, come to a mutual release, whatever it is, you know, you're going to see that happen. You're going to see it happen. Definitely will see it happen. Remember, you heard it over here. I'm not saying that to be cocky. I'm just saying that no one else is telling you that. But that's where this is going. You watch. So, all right, everyone, I'm out of here. I hope everybody has a great rest of your weekend here in New York. It's 12:30, so I am going to spend my day with the missus, watch a little bit of NXT Halloween Havoc tonight, and if you want to join me here tomorrow, 8:05 p.m., we will be here for the sit-down, hosted by yours truly. Remember, that show, you choose all the topics of discussion. I show up with an empty piece of paper, whatever is on your mind, that's what we tackle, and some of the discussions that you come up with every week, stuff that I wouldn't never in a million years even think of talking about. So very, very fun show. But all right, everyone, post your feedback. If you have any questions coming out of today's show, post it. I'll be more than happy to answer it. And yeah, that's it. Oh, thank you, Chaos. I almost forgot. I had two more super chats. Cannot leave them out. Nero Fay, TK needs a CEO with some experience. TK needs a lot more than a CEO. But Chris Jericho will help in that capacity. I know a lot of people are going to say that Chris Jericho is selfish, but, you know, he's not a problem in that locker room. Yes, he circles everything around himself. You know, he circles himself around people he thinks that could generate money. But if he's producing results, you know, he can't complain. And AEW is still a very, very small company. It's a very small company with a very new owner. You know, even though you know, he's involved with the Jaguars and all these other places, Tony Khan needs to surround himself with people that are not only going to, you know, have the balls to tell him things, but also people who are very experienced. I think Mark Henry should have a bigger role. I think Paul White should have a bigger role. I think, what the fuck is going on with Sting? I mean, I understand Sting is mostly an on-air character, but I would think that guy, just for his mindset and his attitude, I think that guy would be one of the ultimate mentors or producers for that company. So I personally think he needs a lot more. But, you know, situations like what happened is going to hopefully help him get better. If he's very naive and he refuses outside advice, this shit will just keep happening in different forms. So thank you, Neil, for that. And Rams fan, thank you, my friend. Do I see Triple H making an NXT event on the day of a Ring of Honor pay-per-view? I don't know. I mean, I know they're doing something maybe December 10th. So when is Ring of Honor? I think Ring of Honor, I don't think it's the same day, but NXT is about to release a December pay-per-view. So maybe it does. But you know what? Even if they do, understand two things. Ring of Honor, if they're both December 10th, I think Ring of Honor, the more I think about it, I think it is December 10th. Look, I'll say it like this. Didn't WWE do an NXT pay-per-view earlier in the day and then have their premium live event at night? You know, I don't think it's a big deal. And look, NXT, if you're a Peacock subscriber, it's free. It's part of your monthly subscription. You know, this isn't a case where wrestling fans have to choose, do I want to spend $40 on Ring of Honor or do I spend $40 on NXT? They're not happening at the same time. Ring of Honor is going to be at 3 o'clock in the afternoon. NXT is doing it, I think, at 7 or 8 o'clock at night. So I don't think that's a big deal. And I don't think it conflicts. Plus, NXT and Ring of Honor is two totally, totally different animals. So I don't think... All right, so a few people are saying, yes, they both are on the same day. I don't think that's a big deal. I don't think that's a big deal at all. Especially, like I said, the Ring of Honor is happening in the afternoon. What's interesting is, you know, didn't AEW say that they're doing the Ring of Honor pay-per-view in the afternoon because of college sports? Now you got to take a step back and think, did they really do it because of college sports or did they think that WWE was going to put on it? I don't think that they thought WWE at all, because why would anybody think out of nowhere NXT is going to put on a premium live event? But again, it's part of a Peacock subscription, and it airs many hours after Ring of Honor is done. So I don't see that hurting it at all. In fact, you know what? You know you could have some WWE NXT fans with wrestling on their mind that night. So, hey, if they're really excited to watch some wrestling that day and Ring of Honor is also on, you might get a couple of people to tune in. So I don't think it's a big deal. I don't think it's a big deal. But all right, guys, it's been real. Hope everybody has a great day. I'm so hot in here. That means the temperature outside must be really, really nice today. So I'm going to spend the afternoon with the missus, watch a little NXT tonight. Hope you enjoy it if you're going to tune in. And if you're around tomorrow, join me. Start thinking about questions and topics you want to discuss. Doesn't always have to be wrestling. Remember that. And one more cheek plug before we go. November 3rd, this is your last chance if you want to submit a question, a topic, something that we're going to debate. I know the topic of CM Punk has suddenly become a very hot request by all of you out there. So I think it was Mike from Mike T or Mike from, I don't remember if it was Mike from whatever or Mike T. Somebody wrote earlier, you know, EVPs or CM Punk, whose side do you take? So that might end up being a pretty interesting debate, especially if CM Punk's contract is bought out before November 3rd. So November 3rd, join me and JD from New York. We will be here Thursday night, 8.05 p.m. We will go. We'll go as long as we need to. You know, 2 hours, 3 hours. You know, look, the whole idea of us doing it together is to have some hard debates, great discussion, a few laughs, make a little money. No denying that. I mean, you know, this is what we do. So we have an idea about something that I'll get into next week. But this is your last chance, because this Thursday I'm going to give all the questions to JD, and he's going to pick out a few that he likes. I'll pick out a few that I like, and we're going to get into them. You know, I don't want anybody's feelings to get hurt with some of the questions that came in, because, you know, we're trying to pick questions and we think everybody would want to hear us discuss and debate. You know, some other questions out there, I mean, honestly, you know, you probably could figure them out. So, all right, everyone, have a great day. All the best to you. Hit that thumbs up if you enjoyed the show. Tell a friend if you enjoy the show. And tune in tomorrow if you enjoy the show. Much love, everybody.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.